Glory to you, God, whose power working in us is always doing more than we could ask for or even imagine. Amen. I do not think any of us like to be judged. Hearing something judgmental from a family member or friend is especially hard if you feel you have done nothing wrong. Feeling judged by someone you love hurts like a dart in the heart. But even scarier is the experience of waiting for a judgment by someone in authority, as in a courtroom, a circumstance that can be almost debilitating with anxiety as you wait for a verdict. Will you suffer financially or worse? Have your personal freedom taken away? I don't know if you have ever had to stand before a judge, but I have. Many years ago in the Torrance courthouse, a police officer pulled me over for turning right against a light. A new sign had been posted: no right turns against red between 7 a.m. and 6 p.m. The officer came to my driver's window, and I was in tears, and told him I needed to explain what had just happened. He said, okay, and he would be right back. He came back to listen, but handed me a ticket first. I proceeded to say that I'd just come from the veterinary and was told by the vet that after tests on my very sick cat, they would like to put him down and send him to UC Davis for research. I told the vet, no way. After I finished telling the officer my traumatic story, he proceeded to tell me that the no turn on red sign had actually just been put up in less than a week. So I realized that I had turned right by habit, not noticing because I was so distracted. Then the police officer did something amazing. He said he was sorry for the news I had received about my cat, but it was too late to take back the ticket. So he said, go before the judge, and he would not challenge it. The officer explained that challenging the ticket would require me to appear in court at a certain time on a certain day. So when that day finally came and I went to court, I had to wait for my name to be called. So I watched and witnessed a no-nonsense law and order judge. Finally, my name was called and that of the police officer who had given me the ticket. The judge actually looked startled that the police officer had showed up for such a minor traffic ticket. And before I could say anything, before I could repeat my sad tale about my precious cat, the police officer said to the judge, no contest. The judge looked at him and then looked at me, brought down the gavel and said, case dismissed. Before I could thank the police officer for having compassion on me and my cat, he was gone. I walked out of the courtroom and into the sunlight that day and felt like the sun could not have been brighter. My judgment day was over. Maybe you have not had to wait for the judgment of a courtroom, but I think all of us can relate to waiting for judgment from someone in authority. For instance, have you had to wait for judgment regarding a home loan? being hired for a new job, waiting for the results of an exam, getting into the college of your choice, waiting for a judgment of any kind is not easy, and it can make us very anxious. In our gospel lesson today, we have a picture of a great judgment with apparently a no-nonsense law and order judge. It is the only description of the last judgment in any gospel, and Jesus paints an impressive picture. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory, and before him all the nations will be gathered. In this judgment story, Jesus says that the king will separate the sheep from the goats. So imagine yourself in that flock of sheep and goats, waiting to be judged, watching while the king judges, then pronounces, "Go to the right or go to the left." Assuming that all the people who have ever lived will be gathered at the end of time for this judgment, it will take quite a while for you to be judged. This is one of those gospel stories that takes me back to childhood, when I thought of God as always judging me. Law and order, no nonsense, rather than loving and guiding me. Since then, I have studied and prayed about this gospel with the grace of years and with experiencing the merciful love of God. I have grown to know Jesus as a shepherd who loves and cares about each of us in a personal and a compassionate way. The immeasurable greatness of his power, as we heard in the second reading, watches over all of us. It is important to seek a fullness for this gospel, this story of judgment, for it is taken from the conclusion of Matthew's description of the end times, in which Jesus identifies himself with the most essential characteristic. His most essential characteristic is that he identifies with suffering, the suffering people of all nations. In this parable, Jesus is the king and will separate the people in the way that a shepherd divides the sheep from the goats. Mixed flocks of sheep and goats were common in his day, but it was necessary to separate them before night came, because the goats needed shelter from the cold, while the sheep preferred to remain outdoors. So the king in this story identifies with those who are hungry and thirsty, sick and imprisoned, the refugee and the homeless. This story makes me uncomfortable because I cannot help everyone. I am meant to try to be a little kinder, a little more compassionate. As spiritual writer Anne Lamott puts it, Jesus is really very clear about us trying to do a tiny bit better. You are loved and chosen as is, in your current condition, with all the aggressive, ambitious thoughts you have. Jesus says, "Come on up and sit with me, you as is." But at the same time, Jesus hints that maybe we can do better. So I can give thirsty people water. I can give away everything, everything I thought I needed. And I can observe and I can practice awareness of reactivity. I can say, it's okay. The grace of this world is so hilariously huge. In fact, Eberhard Arnold wrote that all life is a parable of the future community of the kingdom of God. Just as the air surrounds us or a blowing wind engulfs us, we need to be immersed in the blowing spirit who unites and renews everything. We need constant reminders, as we heard from these two writers, that God's presence is in all people and in all creation. And there is still another lesson in this gospel. At the time that Matthew was writing this gospel, toward the end of the first century, the church was being persecuted by Jews who considered Christians to be apostates, those who had defected from Judaism. Scholars today think that Matthew, writing in the midst of that persecution, intended this story to encourage people, to show mercy to Christians in need and those being persecuted. God suffers with those being persecuted today in the defilement of Jewish synagogues, in the gun violence in Christian churches and public places, and most recently in the massacre of Muslims in the mosque in Egypt. There is no religious, ethnic, sexual, or gender distinction for Jesus. Jesus pronounces a blessing on those who show mercy to the least. For whatever you did to the least, you did to me. Jesus is the King and servant of all. And this is Christ the King Sunday, the last Sunday of a church year. Next Sunday begins a new church year, and we call it Advent, as we prepare once again for the message of Christmas. God became one of us in Jesus to model for us the way of love. God not only wants us to model our lives on the values of Jesus, God wants us. God wants us to come alive, to guide us by touching our hearts with love, by saving us from judging others. God wants us to care and see value and dignity in every human being. God wants to move us from obsessing about our own needs to worry about others too. We are God's favorite project to teach you and me the fundamental truth that to love is to live without judgment. Amen.